there's a bunch of tools out there that will show you how to not have to be the expert, but use all of the internet to give you advice on how to do things based on information that's already out there.
Welcome back to the Investing with Purpose podcast, where we explore the intersection of success and significance. We discuss alternative investment options from our experience buying hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate, but most importantly, how we're using that business to impact people in a positive way to leave a legacy that matters. Let's get after it.
Since ChatGPT launched, it's just been a full-on tech race, right? So think about when the internet launched, you had Yahoo, AOL, Google wasn't even a thing yet, Hotmail. So you had everybody kind of vying for this new technology, and what they were vying for is user base. So everything that become like the top thing that you can monetize right now outside of sneakers, apparently, is data, right? So your database of the people that are working within your ecosystem, that is the most valuable thing that you can create now. So that's why you have these Insta-famous people on Instagram, the YouTube superstars and all that stuff. It's not because the content that they produce is amazing. It's because the number of followers and eyeballs on them, the data that's attached to that is very valuable, because then you can sell that to other companies. You can have other companies pay you for advertising to your audience. So eyeballs is the number one media now, meaning everything that people are trying to get you to do is to stay on your phone longer, look at a website longer, whatever, right? So it's how many times do you look at it? How long do you stay on it? Just how many people are following that? So ChatGPT, artificial intelligence with more data points than any other artificial intelligence, right? It's like 1.7 billion data points, which means you can search a lot of different things and it'll give you a lot of different content. The reason I bring this up for marketing is because this is going to change how marketing gets done. This is going to change how branding gets done. There's already this huge shift. I think we're a little bit ahead of the game, but not a lot in terms of just recognition that this will be a game changer. So for example, so there's a company called Shutterstock.com will basically be a AI image generator. So it'll create whatever images you want. Think about a piece of art. What would you guys like to see as a piece of art? I'll just show you guys right now what it does. Okay, so mountains. How about your favorite artist? Mountains made out of pizza. And give me an artist. Van Gogh style. All right, so let's see what it comes up with. So ChatGPT, you kind of ask it questions. This is an AI image generator. And you kind of tell it, right? And it would give you a couple of mountains made out of pizzas in the style of Van Gogh. Sun, burnt, zebra. So we're not going to do it for the rest of the class. But my point is that right now, if you contact marketing company.
Wait, what? How is that? Oh my gosh.
So this is.
The last one is like.
So this guy's on fire. So these are other images that it creates, right?
Oh
so
my like,
so it creates it, not just finds it?
Creates it, which means it's not plagiarism anymore. So this is what becomes very cool in terms of content creation, because you don't have to borrow and reimagine how to write something.
Oh, so
anymore.
You can make like a logo.
You can make a logo. So this is photos, art, digital. You could do 3D. You could tell it what styles to make. So it continually learns, right? So I'm not exactly sure. If you guys follow me on social media, you'll see new images and new YouTube thumbnails and all this stuff that has to get created every single week I release content. So over here, there's a generate button. This is free. So you can go to templates.
Wait, what is it called?
Shutterstock. This isn't the only company that does this, by the way, but this is one of the ones that I've been using. So you can go to templates, social media, and it will create covers for you. Like you can tell it what you're looking to do, right? So this is Instagram templates. They have YouTube, Etsy. So all this stuff that I've been paying a marketing company to create, whose job's at risk? But now it becomes super easy for people to create marketing. Now, what if I don't know anything about marketing? What if I'm like a real estate guy who has no idea what you would want to see like of real estate?
In like apartment complexes.
We use a lot of money graphs, right? With like umbrellas over it and whatever they come up with. All right, give me a company. Let's just use yours, right? I don't even know what you would call that. I know this is exciting. Calm down. Okay. So I said, pretend you are my consultant and give me 10 marketing ideas for a shoe reseller. Right? You can see how fast this is typing out. Number one, create a referral program. Encourage your customers to refer their friends and family to your business by offering them discounts and rewards for each successful rental. Host a shoe drive. Partner with a local charity or nonprofit organization to collect gently used shoes for people in need. Use this opportunity to promote your business and offer a discount to customers who donate shoes. Run social media contests, host giveaways or contests on social media platforms. So it gave me 10. Create a loyalty program, use Google My Business, launch an email marketing campaign. So now I'm going to say, let's assume it's a very high-end shoe company. Give me 5 email marketing subject lines that grab your attention. Sound good?
Yeah.
So what's interesting about this, it is limited to how good you can figure out how to ask questions. So there is some thought behind this.
Go read it.
But absolutely, here's 5 potential subject lines that could grab the attention of high-end shoe customers with an email marketing campaign. 1, elevate your style with our luxurious new shoe collection. 2, exclusive pre-sale, be the first one to shop our limited edition shoes. 3, experience unmatched quality, introducing our handcrafted Italian leather shoe. 4, get ready for spring, discover our latest arrivals in designer footwear. And 5, limited time only, save on the most coveted shoes of the season. Those are all really good marketing taglines. Like you would see that and go, I didn't know an artificial intelligence bot wrote this, right? Because what it's doing is searching. So the more detailed of a question you can ask it, the better it will give you this response. Now, why are we talking about this for marketing?
Can you ask it what I should eat for lunch?
I can, but do you want to be more specific?
Sure.
Like what? Like you want to know what to eat for lunch to give you more energy throughout the day, to help you sleep better at night, to make you ripped? Like what kind of?
No? Just ask it, what should I eat for lunch, and see what comes up.
It's going to tell you that that depends because it's pretty smart. So as an AI language model, I don't have access to your personal preferences or dietary restrictions, so I cannot give you a specific recommendation. However, I can suggest some general ideas. A salad with plenty of fresh vegetables and a lean protein source, such as grilled chicken or tofu, and a healthy fat source, such as avocado or nuts. A sandwich or wrap made with whole grain breads or tortillas, lean protein, turkey, hummus, plenty of veggies. A bowl of soup or chili with vegetables, lean protein. Sushi rolls made out of brown rice, veggies. A stir fry made with vegetables. What's this have to do with marketing? The reason I bring it up is because this is real time. This is literally since November. You're talking the last 4 months, the marketing world is shifting. Before I got here, I got on 2 phone calls with chatbots with...
You were on a phone with...
I got on a call with a company that I could put a chatbot, a conversational AI chatbot on my website. Because now I figure if I can go onto this website and ask pretty much anything, why can't customers come to my website and ask anything when I don't have to get on the phone, right? How do I automate that marketing process? So that was my first thought is like, well, if they can do it, why can't they come to me and say, hey, how do I invest in real estate? What kind of returns would I get? What are the risks? Just link this to my website. You can't do that yet. It's coming. But what I could do, which is incredible to me, is I can transcribe all of my podcasts that I've done, which is over 300.
Probably 300 podcasts?
It's probably 200, 300 hours worth of content, right, that I can transcribe onto a sheet of paper. And there's companies out there, by the way, that do this for like super, super cheap. And then I can upload that body of data into the chatbot and it can search that data. So if you came to my website and you're like, hey, what is an equalization payment? If I talked about it in my podcast, it can answer it. So for 10 grand a year, I can basically have a non-live agent with all of the knowledge that I've ever put out and taught into the world answering questions on my behalf. That's pretty insane. So think about all the different applications.
10 grand a year for a basic employee. This is amazing. Like,
I wish it was 10 grand a year for an employee. I don't have an employee that makes less than...
I think you meant like...
Yes, the bot is basically...
Yeah. Right. And it doesn't call in sick. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have family problems. And it doesn't... It's just the truth, right? No health insurance. I don't have to pay employer taxes on it. So now, if you're a marketing company, does this scare you? If I'm a marketing company, I become the expert on this. I tell you why you can't even think of the right questions to ask this thing, and I will do it for you. That's how you're going to create value in the next couple of years with this, right? And this is what happens in industry across the board. Things change. You need to pivot. You need to figure out how to be the expert on something. Because somebody on my team will be the expert on this, or you can make it so valuable and so easy for me to say yes that you don't want to spend 50 grand on an employee to do all this stuff for you. You want to pay me 15 grand a year and I'll just go get a bunch of questions answered for you really easily, right? And implement it. And the guy today was like, so we'll do this chatbot, we'll capture information. You'll call up and say, yep, I'm interested, or you're type up and say, yeah, I'm interested in this. And I'll say, great, I want to answer some questions for you. Give me your name. Great. What's a good email address in case we get disconnected? And what's your phone number? Okay, Josh, we're going to go ahead and ask you what kind of questions you want to answer. And then you go ahead and do that. And then that information gets linked to my Salesforce, to my CRM automatically. So now I've done lead capture so I can nurture you. Even if you click X because you have to go to a meeting, right? I still now have captured your information and I can now start to market directly to you. Right. So I bring this up because marketing shifts every couple of years. This is a game changer. This is something that for the rest of your lives, you will see being kind of the split, similar to the television, similar to the internet. Because now I don't even have to be an expert. I can ask ChatGPT to pretend that they're my consultant, pretend that it's my expert, and give me. Like I just asked it before. I said, you know, I was running out of podcast content because I've been focused on other stuff. Man, give me 10 good podcast episodes on why commercial real estate is less volatile than traditional investments. And it did. And I was like, oh, cool. So now I have to think about those 10 things that I have to go talk about content with. Between this, the image generator, right? And there's a bunch of tools out there that will show you how to not have to be the expert, but use all of the internet to give you advice on how to do things based on information that's already out there. What was really interesting, you guys know Jordan Peterson? So Jordan Peterson is a Canadian psychologist. He's a pretty conservative guy, and he's been making his rounds, and he's written a bunch of books, and he's a really smart guy. He went on here. And he asked ChatGPT to write a chapter, the 13th chapter of his book, which was, it's only 12 chapters long. So write me a 13th chapter in the style of Jordan Peterson about this particular topic. And it did it to the point where he said it was indiscernible if he wrote it or not. Crazy. So I actually found on Instagram the other day, a guy that said, here's three tools where it'll write you an ebook in 15 minutes. It's using some of this to write chapters. Then it expands on the chapters, and then you can go to an AI publisher and use Shutterstock for images, and it'll create this ebook in 15, 20 minutes that I can send out to my client. Do you know how long it used to take me to create that content? Like a really long time. So now Google has gotten smart. It has its own AI so that if you're posting blogs and content that they think came from ChatGPT, it flags it as likely written by AI. So what did they do? They created a separate AI tool to run it through that will reword everything so that it sounds more like human writing instead of AI. So Google can no longer discern what's AI written. So this is going to be like the weird battle, right? Of like, hey, let's make sure it's real non-plagiarized content versus how would you know? Like, how do you search the entirety of the internet to see who's doing what? So what else can you use these types of tools for? In business, in branding, in marketing, I think the Shutterstock thing is really cool. I actually called out, I'll give you an example. I called out the company that has been doing my YouTube thumbnails. And it's just the same stock photo of me with a different like title of it, right? So it's just me in a suit, which is boring. So, but these are like the types of images that get a lot of clicks on YouTube. So they'll create the content. So all I have to do is say, hey, create me the thumbnail for this thumb, like to draw traffic. And they know it works because they're part of the algorithm. So like the things that I wouldn't necessarily put on my YouTube thumbnail, but if it's going to create traffic, who cares? This will do it, right? You can start with a blank template. You could pick other templates and then you can just repurpose that stuff. So, I mean, the social media stuff I think is pretty cool. There's AI music. Now, where you can tell it to write a song or background music in the form of this or in that. The first thing I ever did on ChatGPT was ask it to write me a clean rap song in the style of Eminem about baking cookies.
Was it great?
It was fantastic. I was just like, how is this happening? I mean, so what's really interesting about this stuff is AI, I think, came in third in like a high school worldwide poetry contest. Yeah, it's two kids, but came in third in the whole world in terms of writing the best poetry. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we will find out what makes humans human, right? Because there will be an extent where it will be able to create images, artwork, music, all these different things, poetry, lyrics.
So do you think this will have like a really big effect on jobs and stuff?
Profound.
Yeah.
I think it will have a profound effect on jobs. I think the people that figure out how to capture this and utilize it in a way, but I'm only 41 and this stuff is already like, I don't want to learn another thing. So if somebody came in and said, hey, I'm going to learn how to do this, be the expert at it, and you can hire my company, and we'll just be the outsourced version of this, but to make sure that utilizing it the best you can, I would pay for that service. And I think a lot of people will pay for that service. I think the people that refuse to think that this is going to be a thing and spend hours editing content and hours editing pictures to put it on the internet are going to be out of a job. It writes copy too. You know, you can have it write copy for a social media post, for a book, for a chapter, for whatever. Yep.
I also saw another one where it's like, it can sing a song, but make it sound like a different artist is singing the song.
There's ones now that can listen to your voice,
yeah,
and it will learn how to speak like you.
Yeah.
So here's what I envision. Like, this is recording. What should I say? No, it's staying here. But here's what I envision. Podcast creators, content creators will eventually utilize these things so that it doesn't take hours of time every week out of my life to create podcast content. Because now I don't have to create it. Now I just have to read it and make sure that it's in my voice, right? Make sure it's saying the things I want it to say. So I'm just reading or listening to it instead of thinking through, mapping out, and then creating the content. So, I mean, this is all like, I have no opinion on these things. I don't think it's right or wrong or whatever. It just is now. Like, there is no going backwards. People have access to ChatGPT. You will either compete with it or compete without it, right? So what I love about it is speed. Like, you can use stuff very quickly to minimize the amount of time that you're spending creating content and doing more customer focused things. I mean, there's even avatars now. There's AI will create very human looking, realistic AI bots that will read your content. So if you land on a website, it'll look like a hired actress is sitting there and reading your content, right? So how much time does that remove you from being out in front of the camera? So there's a lot of different benefits to it. I think, like anything else, it's going to be used for good and bad things. It's here. It's happening in just the last 4 months. It has become a complete game changer in a lot of people's content creation. So I emailed my company. I said, hey, why are you guys using these thumbnails? These are clearly the ones that create a lot of traffic. I'm not seeing a ton of traffic. So start using this. Like, I didn't tell them that they were fired. I didn't tell them I could do it myself. I just told them, like, hey, I want you to be on the forefront of this, or I will find somebody that is going to be, because this is going to change how we create content. So when we talk about branding and marketing, that's all it is. Branding and marketing has shifted in the last 10 years from telling somebody about your product to creating an educational experience with them so that they really feel a personal connection with you and your product base. If your product's you, like in politics, that's how you have to create that brand as well, right? You need a personal brand, personal message, personal mission statement, personal vision statement, and a way to get out in front of more people than your opponent. Overwhelmingly, the people that get elected in politics spend the most amount of money because they can run more ads. That's it. It's just eyeballs. Again, data, eyeballs on the people, right? So what do we do to create that? Others are going to do it, right? Yeah.
What else can you do on that picture thing, like just YouTube or other?
I'm going to let you go home and play with Shutterstock by yourself, okay? Yes.
You can ask the AI, what will the world look like in 1,000 years?
I can. It can't predict the future with certainty.
Because it can only use what we've already created.
So it says it's likely that it will change. It'll continue to evolve. Here's some potential developments. Advances in technology. There will be more breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, biotechnology, nanotechnology, space exploration. Environmental changes, climate change may or may not continue to have significant impacts on the planet. Changes in society, societal changes will continue to evolve, such as shifts in political systems, cultural norms and values. new forms of social organization, extraterrestrial exploration. It's possible that humans could begin to explore and colonize other planets or moons in the solar system. So also understand that when you ask this thing questions, somebody programmed it, right? Important to recognize these things. I have seen a couple of political bias things where they'll ask about a certain candidate and they'll ask about another certain candidate and they're on opposite sides of the spectrum. And the way that it answers is we don't like to get involved in politically charged arguments and this guy's really good. So just understand that it is still artificial intelligence. It's still programmed by a human being. It will still upload certain data sets to it that could skew one way or the other.
And it's limited by those sounds. It's like if you had someone from 2,000 years ago who had, they had no context for what a car would be it, or how it works. And so 2,000 years from now, I'm sure the AI doesn't have the information required to figure out what things will be created.
Yeah, and the chart on this is like ChatGPT has more data points than ever before. Right? But it costs like $4 million a day to run or something crazy because it just takes a lot of energy. The next one, I think, had maybe 1.3 million data points. So it's the aggregation of data that becomes very difficult. And how do you search through it? So it's not perfected yet, but what we're seeing already in 4 months of launch is insane. I mean, and it teaches itself, right? So it as it continues to learn more things, and you can whittle it down too when you're asking it questions or when you're telling it what to do. You can get more specific and it'll do more specific tasks. I think it's really important when we're talking about marketing and branding because what used to cost a lot is now going to cost nothing or very little. It's going to level the playing field tremendously. Yes?
Can you ask how much IQ it has?
I will, but it'll say no because it's a language model.
It won't be able to measure it either because it's taking in all these data points. On that scale, it wouldn't. That's not like good comparison on that
10
scale.
Trillion.
The other thing that's really cool about that too is like Canva, the program Canva. If you create like a logo or a business card, anything on there using their products, you have to go in and physically change something, like whether it's the color or whatever, of what they've put on their template, or they can come back on you and say that you have broken copyright laws.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't like use certain things. So being able to do this with the images and that totally takes that element out.
Yeah, they'll start to, I mean, when they're smart and they're not brand new, they will just create a royalty platform.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I'll give you like I just asked it to do, give me a logo for my coffee shop, right? So like it just creates kind of nonsensical things. But as this starts to get tuned and dialed, then they'll say, yeah, would you like to purchase this image for 99 cents?
Right?
Because nobody, it's just who exactly owns the data.
Why would that be right? A coffee shop?
Well, that's a hand with coffee in it. This is a coffee cup from the top.
Uh-oh.
So, but why I think it's interesting is because it used to be the company that had the biggest marketing budget wins. That's not going to be the case anymore. Right? So like, I can use AI to create content as good as Nike. That's pretty cool as an entrepreneur, right? That's pretty interesting that I now don't have to hire this big marketing firm. Like if I'm a marketing firm right now, I am really I'm having weekly meetings on what are we going to do about and with AI with our clients. I know that I'm already asking my marketing companies, hey, what are you doing with this? So far, I haven't gotten a good answer. I expect to next week. I'm jumping on a call. So my team asked them and I gave them links to stuff that I wanted to potentially use in the business. And they said, hey, let's get on a call next week. Now, I don't know if that was, let's get on a call and I'll study all week so I can figure this out. Or if that's, we're ahead of the curve, we want to talk to you about how to implement. My thought is probably the former rather than the latter, because if in front of it, they would have brought it to me, not vice versa. But there are companies out there that are going to do this. So it will be a game changer. To what extent people will use it is also going to be really interesting. I mean, you can use it for all kinds of design ideas. So it's relevant in terms of marketing and branding because I asked it to write an email. We've talked about Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss, right? Best hostage negotiator of all time. So my wife does title work, which is a part of real estate. She hates sales. She hates it. She just wants people to send her orders. She doesn't want to be out in front of the customer and like, right? But I can't sell for her all the time because I have a business to run too. I said, ChatGPT, create 10 emails for me to send to attorney clients to get more business from them in the style of Chris Voss. It gave her 10 email templates. I put that into ActiveCampaign and I set a 10-week email campaign. And now every week, they're getting these automated emails. My wife doesn't have to do a thing. It took 10 minutes and now it'll start generating business. So like, where else can we use this?
Almost cheating.
Yeah. It's like when people tell me I'm cheating because I'm not paying taxes though. We all play by the same game. It will change. And look, you're never going to get AI to get other people to know, like, and trust you, right? So that sales process of being face-to-face with the client will never be replicated. You can't do that on a bot. But you can nurture them to a phone call much easier or to a meeting much faster. And that's what we're looking to do, right? That's what marketing is. Essentially, marketing is, how do I get the client to raise their hand and say, I am interested in you or your product or both? That's marketing and branding. That's all it is. Sales is, now that they've raised their hand, closing them. But in terms of marketing and branding, this really levels the playing field. Thoughts? A little mind-blowing, right?
I feel like either you're going to have a bunch of companies go out of business and larger companies becoming larger, or you're going to have a bunch of companies growing substantially faster.
I feel like it'll be both, right?
But yeah,
so
well, yeah.
I agree.
Some people are sure going to go out of business, but lots of people will succeed as well.
Yep. And it's the people that have always done it this way that will be the first ones to go out of business. And it's the people that will pivot and figure out how to utilize this in a way that's helpful in telling their story that will benefit. And that's every technical advancement. That's everything that goes on in business. Is this stuff is constantly changing. What are you doing to just be more educated about it and implement it into your business faster? Exactly. So first companies that started taking digital payments, PayPal. Like, Amazon wasn't Amazon without PayPal, right? How do you pay for it? So now when you start to make that easy, that adaptation exploded a business. I don't want to get off track too much with like the crypto conversation, but that is something that's different. There are companies that are adapting to taking Bitcoin as payment. Now, would I ever pay with Bitcoin to buy? It's too volatile for me, right? But eventually when the SEC gets involved, and they will, to say, this is how we monetize Bitcoin and how we tax you on it. That's the biggest driver of why they're going to figure out how to regulate Bitcoin. But then companies will say, okay, we can accept Bitcoin. This is how we do it. Who's going to be the payment processor? And then what else can I do online with that?
Currency to try to pay for.
It's not a currency yet. That's the point, is it's just been so volatile.
How do you manage that? Because, like, one Bitcoin is what, like 30-some thousand dollars right now?
What?
Yeah, I don't know what it is now. I think it's like, in the 20s.
If I'm gonna make a purchase of $5 with one big,
I saw this YouTube video of this guy, and he bought a pizza with like 3,000 bitcoins when bitcoins were worth only like a couple cents,
yeah.
And now it would be worth like $50 million.
Yeah. So Bitcoin's at 20. It's been It's been as high as 60.
For one.
But like, so what businesses are using that? Like, which types of businesses accept that?
Well, I mean, it's based on current exchange rates. So you can really do it whenever you want. It's just, it's so volatile so fast that if you said, hey, I'm going to charge you 50 cents worth of Bitcoin, and I sent you 50 cents worth of Bitcoin, in an hour, it could be worth 40 cents or 60 cents. Right. But there are people that are trying to utilize the platform because they believe what the financial world will be based on in the future. And I don't know if it'll be Bitcoin, but if you could picture a gold backed cryptocurrency that's stable, right? And they have stable coins out there, which are like US, there's a US dollar currency backed. I don't know a lot about crypto, but the technology behind cryptocurrency is going to change the financial markets. How do I know? Because the United States government is already working with Chase Bank on creating a US government cryptocurrency. Well, the government isn't going to do that unless they see value in it, right? And they will figure out how to regulate it, figure out how to tax you on it, figure out how to do a bunch of these things. But that was like in the last 10 years, another big one, right? Why did I get the look?
I did it a little bit ago.
Oh, I didn't take a tennis. Thank you. Thanks, Jake. I knew it too. I knew it. I was like, oh no. So anyway, this is, there's changes in industry all the time and how you pivot to it and how you view it. You can view everything as a detrimental problem, right? You can play the victim or you can look at it as an opportunity. And what's interesting about these things is that they're both. In almost every scenario, they're both. You know, like right now there's banks that are, there's a run on the bank. There's a couple of banks that have been run on in the past couple of days. Do you guys know what that means? Been multi-billion dollar, trillion dollar banks. And somebody would say, hey, go get your money out of the bank. We don't think it's going to be solvent very long. So this one bank, their stock dropped 42% overnight, right? So you're starting to hear whispers of like major worldwide recession. It's going to happen. And I'm always, you know, people are always like, it's fear or it's opportunity. More millionaires are made in recessions than in good times. Does anybody know that? Depressions and recessions make more millionaires than when markets are really good. Why?
Because they want to change with
it. Yeah, why else? How would you accrue wealth during that time?
By adapting to the circumstances, not fearing and knowing that things will return to normal in some form. And then, because either way, you're not going to, like if you're poor, during like you've lost all your money during, it's not like you're gonna keep losing money, but you already lost all your money. So you can either fear the fact that you don't have any money right now, or you can go do something about it.
Yes.
So would it be like taking calculated risks?
Yeah, it's seeing opportunity.
It would be like having the knowledge of being able to get something that people want without them and selling it for like trading for other things.
Yep. I mean, there was a time during the Depression where food was so valuable that other things weren't. So farmers became wealthier. So one of my favorite quotes is, don't buy stocks when the mailman's getting in. Meaning like when everybody else is starting to think that it's a good idea to invest here, probably a good time to get out. And when is it a good time to get in? When everybody else is getting out. So the herd mentality will keep you safe because of fear. Right? We all know that that piece of our brain was in the amygdala that makes you worry about getting chased by a bear all the time. So when markets fall, people bail. But if you have the ability to get into a market while it's falling, when it rebounds, you'll crush it. But it's very difficult to do because your whole family will tell you you're crazy because the markets are falling. You should save your pennies. But that's just not historically factual. Right. Statistically, it's not how millionaires are made. It's absolutely a mindset issue. I mean, people lose a lot of money in recessions, but it's because they think it's going to continue to happen the way that it's always happened. If you recognize a changing environment and recognize shifting sands, then you're more likely to be able to capitalize on it by seeing opportunity. But if you bury your head in the sand, then you won't recognize any opportunity, right? I mean, the guy who said to pull all your money out of this one bank was Peter Thiel. Anybody know who Peter Thiel is? He's like one of the top 10 richest people in the world. And he's an entrepreneur and he's a banker and he's a private equity guy. And like when that guy says, move your money, people move their money. So it didn't even matter if he was right or wrong. Just by saying it, he could have tanked the bank.
So why would he say that? Was it really?
The bank really wasn't solvent. It, because of the moving interest rates in the past year, they were over leveraged and weren't going to be able to pay their bills very short. Forget about their stockholders, they weren't going to be able to pay their bills. So, and you'll see, now is it the canary in the coal mine? And that means, is it an indicator of what's to come? Probably. But I just released a podcast 2 weeks ago called Blood in the Water. And like, I'm excited about the opportunity that it's going to make, right? Because sharks smell blood in the water. As entrepreneurs, that's what we are, right? We got to go find how to capitalize on these things. Or we can think about getting a job, I guess. As recessions start to happen and more opportunity I saw somebody do a whole video tutorial on how to make money by reselling things online with like four different websites and asking these AI bots to give it statistics on like what's the most sold thing in a certain geographic area and then buying that thing and then listing it on Amazon and then creating an online Amazon store. Like it'll do a lot for you, right? It's just what do you want to do and what questions do you need to ask it? And where do you find other mentors that are a little bit further ahead that have already done it? It's like, oh yeah, I created an Amazon store for shoes specifically and this is how we do it. It's like, oh, now I don't even have to go create it. I just sent my friend an Instagram tutorial on how to use two AI sites to build its website, because not only does the thing do language, it does coding, which actually has a bigger database of code than it does language. So when you code a website, you have to type it in. But the way that you write the code, right, is what you're seeing on the other side of the website. If you have a broken code, you can put the broken code in here and it'll fix it for you. So like you can create a website. There will be a lot of ways to make money with these things. There will also be a lot of ways to lose money. So just choose your heart, right? It's going to be hard to work with it. It's going to be hard to work without it. Choose your heart. It's going to be hard to stay married. It's going to be hard to get divorced. Choose your heart, right? Same concept. All of these things have benefits and detriments to them. And what you choose to do with it will determine your trajectory, right? It comes back to growth mindset. So we could talk a lot about what marketing used to be. But I thought this was a lot more relevant because this is what marketing is doing now. And it's not going to go backwards. AI is not going to cease to exist. And we're going to go back to sending postcards to people, right? Maybe we continue to send postcards because, frankly, there's less junk mail now than there ever has been. So maybe that's a new way to do it. But how do you create the newsletter that you're going to send out? And you use this to create the newsletter and create the copy and create the images and then send it out via United States Postal Service so it actually lands. Yeah. And how much less time did that take me than what I used to do? When I say what I used to do, I mean like 6 months ago, where I'm paying a publisher and editor to lay it out and what the colors are and all this stuff. It's like, I don't have to do that anymore. What's the best layout? Here's the best layout. I don't have to think about it.
Can you ask that picture thing to make a commercial?
No, you can go home and play with it.
Well, like, can you? Is it possible?
Oh,
can
I don't know.
Video?
It does videos. I tell your parents I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening to the Investing with Purpose podcast. If you're finding value, would you leave us a review and share this with your friends? And go to investingwithpurpose.org to learn more about how to partner with us and to learn more about the nonprofits that we support around the world.